Maturyam, Maturyam Gustavasyam. Radha Kundam Girivaram Mahorarika Madhavasam Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurundam Toshmi Aradhanas Trinandam Daidam Yache Puna Punaha Shrimad Rupa Padam Bojo Joham Sham Bhave Bhave Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Dhanayam Dadati Swaradhanitikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Dupada Pamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahadana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sudhaitam Sahabhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vansha Kopataru Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
I'm finally getting everybody's names down on the list here. I'm really, really bad. Please forgive me if I see you in 5 years, I don't remember any. Please forgive me if I see you in 5 minutes after class. I'm such a demoniac person. My wife's very good. She remembers people's names. So, we can read text number 9 together. Nice. We can sing this like we sing the last verse of Brahma Samhita. Shriya kanta kanta parama purusha kopatarvo ma bhumis chintamani gani maitoya mamritam Vaikuntha janito varama rupori tatra pirasotsavad Vidaranyam udarapani ramanatta chapi govardhana Radha kunda vihapi gokulapate premamrita plavana Kuryasyam virajato giritate sevam vivekinataha Such a nice thing, huh? Jiva Goswami in Paramatma Sundarva. He describes 6 different ways that we understand the intention of the author of a book. And one of them is the conclusion of the book. Because sometimes the author starts off with something other than what he really intends to get to. So here in the last part of this book, Rupa Goswami, he's just like Hanuman once, he showed his heart and showed that Sita and Ram were there inside his heart. So Rupa Goswami, he's also showing his heart, revealing what's inside there to us in this very, very nice verse. So Prabhupada translates this. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathura Puri is a transcendental forest of Vrindavan because of Krishna's Rasa-lila pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill. For it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was a site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Sri Radha Kund stands supreme, but is overflooded with the ambrosial nectarian prema of the Lord of Gokul, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radha Kund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? So this is a very short purport from Srila Prabhupada. I was thinking just to read the whole thing. The spiritual world is three-fourths of the total creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it is the most exalted region. The spiritual world is naturally superior to the material world. However, Mathura and the adjoining areas, although appearing in the material world, are considered superior to the spiritual world because the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself appeared at Mathura. So, maybe Anita, you want to read after this?
The interior forests of Vrindavan are considered superior to Mathura because of the presence of the 12 forests, Dwadashavan, such as Palavan, Madhuvan, and Bahulavan, which are famous for the various pastimes of the Lord. Thus, the interior Vrindavan forest is considered superior to Mathura, but superior to these forests is the divine Govardhana Hill, because Krishna lifted Govardhana Hill like an umbrella, raising it with his lotus-like, beautiful hand to protect his associates, the denizens of Raja, from the torrential rains sent by the angry Indra, king of demigods. It is also at Govardhan Hill that Krishna tends the cows with his cowherd friends, and there also he had his rendezvous with his most beloved Sri Radha and engaged in loving pastimes with her. Radha Kund at the foot of Govardhan is superior to all, because it is there that love of Krishna overflows. Advanced devotees prefer to reside at Radha Kund because this place is a site of many memories of the eternal loving affairs between Krishna and Radharani, Rati Vilasa. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, it is stated that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the area of Rajabhumi, he could not at first find the location of Radha Kund. This means that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually searching for the exact location of Radha Kunda. Finally, he found the holy spot, and there was a small pond there. He took his bath in that small pond and told his devotees that the actual Radha Kunda was situated there. Later, the pond was excavated by Lord Chaitanya's devotees, headed first by the six Goswamis, such as Arupa and Raghunatha Dasa. Presently, there is a large lake known as Radha Kund there. Srila Rupa Goswami has given much stress to Radha Kund because of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire to find it. Who then would give up Radha Kund and try to reside elsewhere? No person with transcendental intelligence would do so. The importance of Radha Kund, however, cannot be realized by other Vaishnava sampradayas. Nor can persons uninterested in devotional service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understand the spiritual importance and divine nature of Radha Kund. Thus Radha Kund is mainly worshipped by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
What does Srila Prabhupada mean when he says the importance of Radha Kund can't be realized by the Vaishnava sampradayas? If you go to Radha Kund, so many other sampradayas are there. Balavan Bhattak is there, his sitting place is there.
They don't realize the importance of Srimati Radharani, most many of the other sampradayas.
Some of them do. Even the Sri Vaishnavas, some of them, they worship Radhika with Krishna. They may think her subordinate to Lakshmi, but they certainly worship her. And of all of the sampradaya also worships her. Anybody else have any idea? And I'm not saying there's an absolute answer, but we should discuss.
Maybe because only by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can we understand the importance of Radha Kund, and they don't, maybe don't accept Mahaprabhu.
Because their world is Krishna, with all the... Mm-hmm.
I do know one of the predictions of Bhakti Vinod Thakur was that
that not only would Krishna consciousness be spread around the world, but some personality which took place through Srila Prabhupada, he predicted that all of the Vaishnava Sampradayas, the other ones, as well as all of the other major religions, would come under the banner of Mahaprabhu in this age. So obviously, this law,
any other thoughts? We're not saying anything's right or wrong. Just interesting to hear ideas and thoughts from devotees. I would agree with this thing personally, right? Because of Mahaprabhu. Because if we, our Guru Maharaj used to say that unless you understand Srimati Radharani, you can't understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unless you understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can't understand Srimati Radharani. Right? As Basu Ghosh, Gaudiya Vaishnava poet, saying that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hadn't come, how would we have understood about the glories of Srimati Radharani? It wouldn't have been possible. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Krishna himself. He's come to relish Radhika's mood. So maybe one thing, we can understand something about Radharani. Of all of us, Sampradaya understands quite a bit about Radharani. And some Sri Vaishnavas understand. And we see in some Puranas, there's one part of the Brahma Purana, which I found published as a separate book, which seems to be accepted by some Gaudiyas. But it's not found in some other editions of Brahma Purana, so I don't exactly understand. But anyway, that particular part of Brahma Purana is very similar to Brahma Vartha Purana and very similar to Garga Samhita in its treatment of Radhika, that she's like Durga. She creates the universe, and she's very powerful, and she kills the demons, and she's Jagat Mata, she's a ruler of everything, and all those things are correct. But we're not satisfied by those things. There's something much, much greater than that. So for people who see Srimati Radharani in that way, as the mother of the universe, as the killer of the demons, and singing it, that's okay. It's not incorrect. It also goes on. But that's not the real glory of Radhika. And as we discussed the other day, we asked our riddle, a three-part riddle. Who's the greatest devotee? What service does she do that makes her the greatest devotee? And what's the best proof? And we came to a good conclusion that the best proof is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Radhika is the best devotee because she relishes the most. So this is the deep purport of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. God Himself is coming to relish Himself. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to relish himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And by doing that, he's showing that he's Bhakta Bhaktiman. He's a devotee of his devotee. That he's defeated by his devotees. The devotees, and especially Srimati Radharani, are even greater than him. So this is a very, very wonderful thing that we don't find explained elsewhere.
I just wanted to add one more thing that I agree with, said that the 100 verses by Sarvabhauma, and one of those, perhaps you're familiar with it, is that it says, one who has unflinching devotion to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is understood to worship Radha Krishna perfectly in hundreds of births. So the preeminence of Mahaprabhu is really beyond our understanding.
Some of our acharyas, our Guru Maharaj used to often quote this, that he said, even if Krishna's there, we're not interested in going in unless Radharani's there. But he said, even if Radha and Krishna is there, it's still not complete. It's considered to be like an unripe mango. Right? But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, that's the ripened mango. Right? So we said in the beginning of these talks that Gauralila is a parishishta, or an appendix to Krishna Lila. It's not just that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very merciful, and without that Shakti, that Kripa Shakti, by distributing books or something, we can't understand who Radha and Krishna are. But he's coming to relish Radhika. And he himself is part He is Radha Krishna. He's part of Krishna Lila. And he's the full culmination of that Lila. So if we want to understand Radha Krishna, we have to try to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But understanding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in some ways is easier and in some ways more difficult than understanding Radha Krishna. Don't think it's a simple thing. Gaura Lila is the topmost part of our philosophy. But it's a safer thing because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. But he's in the mood of Vipalamba, the mood of separation. And that ecstasy, according to Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita and several of his lectures, according to Sanatana Goswami, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, according to Roy Ramananda, that ecstasy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing of Radharani and separation, that's the highest ecstasy that Radha and Krishna can experience at Vipalamba. Krishna describes that when he speaks to Uddhava in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He says that that ecstasy felt by the gopis in separation from me is the highest thing of all. So in this verse, Rupa Goswami, he's giving us some gradation of different places. That one place is good, another place is even better. He's saying that greater than Vaikuntha is Mathura. And greater than Mathura is Vrindavan. Greater than Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill. And greater than Govardhan Hill is Radhakunda. So how is that? This is a very important part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. If we don't understand this thing, we're not really a Gaudiya Vaishnava. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada, he, for preaching, he established deities of Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. Once he wrote a letter to the devotees in Australia and told them that they could establish a deity of Lord Nrisimhadev. He told the devotees in South India that they could establish a deity of Balaji near Tirupati. Because the local people, they want to understand that thing. So when they come, they get some impression. But Srila Prabhupada himself, from his very birth, was a very strict devotee of Radha Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In all of his books and teachings, he's taught us that this is the topmost thing. So if we may worship some of these other deities, and we may be followers of ISKCON, and it's very nice, but in one sense, you're not actually a real Gaudiya Vaishnava, unless you're really taking shelter of Radha Krishna. And that may be a bold statement to say. But this is the thing that Rupa Goswami came to give us, Sri Chaitanya Manobhishta. So much so, even we were discussing previously, a few days ago, how Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Chandradaya Natakam of Kavi Kanapur, he chastised Mukunda as being an offender. And what was his offense? Anybody remember what we said? He was worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. That was his apparat. Wouldn't speak of us. We grew up worshipping the television. Abominable things we don't want to talk about. But he was setting an example. And Srila Prabhupada is another direction we're not going to go on exactly. But there's many statements from Srila Prabhupada also. We're not interested in Lakshmi Narayan even, or Sita Ram. We're simply interested in Radha Krishna. So this is an important part of our Gaudiya Siddhanta. It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu in his Sanatana Siksha, his teaching to Sanatana Goswami. Golokakya Gokula Maturvarati Etina Loke Krishna Sahaji Chastiti. The three abodes of the Lord, known as Gokul, Mathura, and Dwarka. And Krishna lives eternally in these three places. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta comments here. He says that in the Golok planet there are three divisions, Gokul, Mathura, and Dwarka. And Mahaprabhu tells Sanatana Goswami, Vraje Krishna Sarvaishvarya Prakase Purnatama Puridvaye Parabhyome Purnatada Purna Krishna is complete in the spiritual sky in Vaikuntha. He's more complete in Mathura and Dwarka, and he's most complete in Vrindavan, Braj, due to his manifesting all opulences. This is a very important thing to understand. It's described by Lord Shiva to Parvati Devi. I haven't thought about quoting this thing. I opened the book. I'm going to write to there, that page. So it must be meant to be. This is quoted by Dhyan Chandra Goswami in his Gaurgavinda Smarana Archana Paditi, which I believe is in Padma Purana. Shri Bhu Lila Yugamaya Chincha Chincha Tatai Vacha Mohini Koshalitya Stoh Bahirangascha Saktayo Lila Prema Surupa Cha Stapanya Karshani Tata Samyogini Vyogini Fladinityantaringatka Brajishi Krishna Chandrasha Santi Sodasa Saktaye Poshika Marasyaiva Tashaita Vaisanatana. Comparing Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan, his Leela in Mathura, as Maturanath and Dwarkanath, he says that as Maturanath he has one fewer trait, and as Dwarkanath he has two fewer traits. Krishna has eight shaktis in Braj. Shri Bhu Leela Yogamaya Chincha Chincha Mohini Koshali. And Krishna has he has eight shaktis that comprises Bahiranga Shakti. Those are the eight. Shri Bhu Lila Yogamaya Chincha Chincha Mohini Koshali. And he has eight shaktis which comprise his Antaranga Shakti. Lila, Madhujamayi Lila Shakti. Prema, Surup, Stapani, Akarshani, Shamyogini, Viyogini, and Hladini. So these 16 shaktis are with Krishna in Braj. But even Krishna in Mathura, he only has 15 of the shaktis. And in Dwarka, he has 14. So Krishna, he's Purnatama. He's Purna in Vaikuntha and Dwarka, but he's Purnatara in Mathura. But he's Purnatama. He's totally complete. He's complete, more complete, and most complete. He's most complete in Vrindavan. And this is our Gaudiya Vaishnava teachings. Prakasha prakashita kila guna smita purnatamo budai asarva vyanjaka purna tara purno lipadarshaka. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not manifest all his transcendental qualities, he's still called complete. When the qualities are manifest but not fully, he's called more complete. And when he manifests all his qualities in fullness, he's called most complete. This is a version of all learned scholars in devotional science. Iti dama traye krishno viharati visarvada tatrapi gokule tasya madhuri sarvatodika. Although Sri Krishna eternally performs pastimes in Gokul, Mathura, and Dwarka, his pastimes in Gokul are sweeter than the others. I can mention a brief thing. I don't want to get into this deeply. It would take a long time. I don't want to sidetrack us. But it gives some understanding of this thing also. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he says that Mathura is a very special place. Why? Krishna appeared there. Krishna appeared there, or Krishna was born there? Krishna advented there. Where was Krishna born? Krishna was born in Gokul. Not in Vrindavan, but in Gokul. Srila Prabhupada describes this in one purport in 10th canto. And he doesn't go in this direction now, so we're not going. It's a very, very big subject. And our acharyas have written at length about this, describing why sometimes Krishna is described as Devaki Nandan. Because Devaki Nandan, Devaki is also named for Yashoda. And Vasudeva is also named for Nanda Maharaj. And Rupa Goswami and Bali Vidyabhusha and other acharyas have given pramanas for this. And they cite the fact that Nanda Maharaj, after Krishna was born, he performed a ceremony. Does anybody know what that ceremony was? I'll give you a big hint. In Sanskrit, it's called Jatakarma. Jatakarma Sanskar. He cut Krishna's umbilical cord. Now, unless that cord stretched a long, long ways across the Jamuna River to Mathura, then Krishna's the son of Yashoda. And our acharyas are described like that. Yashoda had twins. Baladeva Vibhushan, right, said, Vishwanath, right, said, Rupa Goswami, all of our acharyas in various different literatures, but it's a little confidential thing. But it shows this point that Mathura is the most special place because, as she said, Krishna wasn't born there, but he appeared there. That's known as Avirbhav. You can imagine what it might have been like for Devaki and Vasudev, who were alone in that dark prison house. And then all of a sudden, as they say in America, Shazam, all of a sudden there was some flash of light, and here's this personality with a Shankachakra Gadapadma and a crown on his head and a golden dhoti standing or giving benedictions. He appeared. It was a very amazing thing. How would we feel if all of a sudden somebody disappeared magically in the middle of this room? We'd all be very amazed and surprised and full of awe and veneration, isn't it? But what happens when you see a baby born and the baby starts crying, wah, wah? Do we feel awe and reverence like that? No, it's a very, very sweet thing. So Krishna's avirbhav is in Mathura, but his janma is in Gokul. And therefore Gokul is superior to Mathura. And superior to Gokul is Vrindavan. Because although Krishna had his sweet janma lila in Gokul, his pastimes in Vrindavan are superior to his pastimes in Gokul. And therefore, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they worship Vrindavan Dham. Aradyo Bhagavan Bhajesatanayastad Dhamma Vrindavanam. Ramya Kachidupasana Brajabadu Vargena Vakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Paranamamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priya Prema Pumartha Mohan, thank you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Tatira Napara. This is Mahaprabhu's opinion and nothing else. That Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, he's Purnatama. He's the topmost form of the personality of Godhead. And Vrindavan Dham is the topmost abode of the Lord. And the gopis, the worship of the gopis in Braj is the best type of worship. Srimad Bhagavatam is the best literature, the most spotless Purana. Prema is the topmost thing. These are the opinions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabodhananda Saraswati, he also describes like that. Vrindavan Mahimamrita, such a very nice book. He's given so many heartfelt descriptions. We should all go and visit Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur's samadhi. Sometimes it's one of the closest places here. Just a short walk down the peripheral path. Anyway, he sings in one verse. Vrindaranye varam syam krimir api paramo no chidananda deho rang kopi syamatulya paramihana paratra bhutanta bhuti sunyopi syamiha srihari bhajana levenati tu charta labdhananyata gopi jana ramana padam bhoja diksha sukepi. Nice thing. He says it. I would rather reside in Sri Vrindavan Dham, even as an insect, than to reside in any other place as a liberated soul with a blissful spiritual body. This is the glory of the insects in Vrindavan Dham. I would rather be here as an insignificant insect. Today we were watching the insects in between classes, and we saw one. I think it was a scorpion, a very big red creature with a stinger on his tail. It was raising it like a scorpion. And I was just sitting and watching them. These insects in Braj are very, very exalted personalities. They're not ordinary persons. And so much so that Prabodhananda Saraswati says, I'd rather be living in Vrindavan in the body of an insect. And it'd be anywhere else, that means also including Vaikuntha or Dwarka or Mathura, in a blissful spiritual body. I would rather reside here in Vrindavan, even as a poverty-stricken beggar, than reside in any other place as a person possessing wonderful, endless wealth. I would rather reside here in Vrindavan, even as a person completely devoid of the slightest trace of devotion to Lord Hari, than to reside in any other place as a person overwhelmed with the desire to serve the lotus feet of Krishna, the lover of the gopis. In other words, I would rather have no bhakti and be living in Vrindavan than to have gopi bhav, but be staying somewhere outside. This is Vrindavan Nishta. In another verse, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, he says that if someone comes to me and tells me that I should leave Vrindavan to go anywhere else, I'll cut out their tongue. So this is his nishta. And why does he have this nishta? It's a reason. Because this Vrindavan Dham is a place of Krishna's most intimate pastimes. And Srila Prabhupada notes that in the purport, because he says, because it's here that Krishna is performing his Ras Leela with the gopis. Although Krishna also performs pastimes in Gokul and in Mathura, and don't think that Mathura is a low-class place. That's a very, very ecstatic place. It's also a place of Krishna Leela, where he killed Chanura and Mushtika. But for various reasons, we won't have so much time to go into today. Vrindavan is considered much, much superior, primarily because of the pastimes that took place here. Although Gokul was a place of Krishna's appearance, and Mathura was a place of his appearance, and Gokul was a place of his birth, Vrindavan is a place where Krishna performed his Ras Leela. Do you remember the name of Krishna's Ras Leela here on the bank of the Jamuna? I often comment on this in connection with movement of Puri. It's a little technical phrase that's not coming to my mind. It's in my notebook. It's back there. Anyway. But Rupa Goswami is saying the superior to Vrindavan is Govardhan. Now why is Govardhan superior to Vrindavan? If you say that Vrindavan is a place of the Ras Leela, should have some discussion about this. I'd like to hear what everybody has to say, some ideas. Would you? When he lifted Govardhan, all the devotees were there with him.
All the gopis or gopas and all, everyone were there close to him.
That's true. That's one point. Mataji?
He tended his cows on Govardhan
roof. Okay.
And the cows were very dear to him.
Yes.
And then he came to me with the pastimes from all the Shiva.
Yes.
Krishna became or becomes devotee or servant of all Raj people, Raj and animals.
Yes.
Does he touch it with his
gloved
hand?
Yes. That's also very wonderful. Any other thoughts? I don't. What is it?
It's not different from Krishna.
Yeah. It's not different from Krishna.
Govardhan serves the most.
Govardhan?
Serves
the most. Okay. If I was an impartial bystander, excuse me, I wouldn't find any of these answers completely satisfying. And I can explain why. Mataji?
It's where the love of Krishna
It's where the love of Krishna overflows. All these things are true. And they're all very good things. We can say that the Krishna there, Govardhan Hill, he touched Giriraj. And Giriraj is not different from him. And Krishna held Giriraj up for 7 days and he was united there with all of his devotees. But Krishna's also with all of his devotees here in Vrindavan. And we can say that it's there, Govardhan Hill, that Krishna took care of the cows. But Krishna also goes to Bandiravan in Vrindavan and so many places with the cows. We can say that there Krishna was performing intimate pastimes with Radharani, but Krishna also performs intimate pastimes with Radhika in so many places. And moreover, all these explanations sound less than Krishna's pleasure that he gets in the Ras Lila. That's Krishna's topmost pastime. In the fifth wave that Bhaktivedanakar, Narahari Chakravarti has given, I don't know how many verses are there, it's 5,000 verses or something, it's a huge, it's like a whole separate book. Given all the glories of Vrindavan Dham, and he's given a very sizable portion of that, maybe as much as a third of that, just speaking about the Ras Lila. And he speaks about all the different ragas and raginis and tals and musical things that were going on, because the Ras Lila is a fully most satisfying pastime of Krishna. So you have a comment?
No, because I just can't say it came to my mind, because in Vrindavan, because Maharaj sitting with all the gopis, and in Bhagavan it was also Ras Lila, there's more intimate with this.
Yes. This is correct. Mataji knew this also. I know. That here, there's a certain name for this Ras Lila, Panchayati Ras. See, I was praying to my Guru Maharaj, please help me remember this. And he gave me intelligence. It's called Panchayati Ras. Panchayati means common. It's like Khitri. Khitri is very nice. But it's a little common thing. It's not like Prabhuji's favorite sabji with the fried potatoes and cauliflower and paneer with salt. It's not like that. So, we may know, you may remember from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, if you read that, if you read Krishna book, Radharani, she left the Ras Lila when it took place here in Vrindavan. And why was that? Why was she angry with Krishna? She was angry. Some people say that Radharani was angry because Krishna was showing equal favor to the southern Siddha gopis, the gopis that were like the rishis at Dandakaranya Forest and others, that the same amount of favor he was showing to the Astasakis and other gopis. But we don't find that completely satisfying, that answer. Because if we say that, then it would imply that Radharani has some selfishness in her, that she's partial to some particular gopis, and because of that partiality, she's exhibiting some sulkiness toward Krishna. But that's, if someone says like that, they don't understand the glory of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani, every fiber of her body, her prana, her everything, simply exists for the pleasure of Krishna. A more satisfying explanation is that Radharani was unhappy because she saw, this is not giving Krishna full pleasure. That's the answer. She was unhappy, saying, this could be much, much better. This is okay, this is like some nice milk. But we can churn the milk into yogurt, then we can churn it and we can make it into butter, and then we can cook it down and make it into very nice ghee. So she became sulky and she left. It's called the Panchayati Ras because there's so many different personalities there. So then later, Krishna and the gopis performed Ras Lila at Govardhan Hill and also at Radhakund. And that Ras Lila, as Mataji is saying, which is just the Astasakis and Astamanjaris. And this is a fully satisfying reason. We can say many things about Giriraj. We can say that he's Krishna. But all of Braj also is a manifestation of the Lord. We can say that. We won't go so much into speaking about who Giriraj is. There's not time right now. Maybe sometime we'll take some of you and go over on Parikrama and we can tell you something about the esoteric personality known as Giriraj, very special. And how it is that is he a devotee? Or is he Krishna? Or is he both? Or is he Radharani? Or is he Balaram? Or who is Giriraj? It's a very interesting, but it's a very big subject. And it's really not exactly on this thing before us today. So, Giriraj is considered superior because of that. And there's many other wonderful things about Giriraj. He's known as Govardhana. Vardhana means to nourish because he takes care of the cows. And this Golok, this is Gokul, this is the place of the cows, and the planet is known as Golok. And Krishna and the he's a Gopa, and the ladies are Gopis. They're all taking care of the cows. The cows are the centermost of everything. Another meaning of Govardhan is that he nourishes the senses of the Gopis. by bringing Radha and Krishna together, as Mataji was saying. Radha and Krishna have their most intimate pastimes there, in caves and other places. But especially we say because this Rasa-lila took place at Govardhan Hill. And how do we say, why do we say that Radha-kund is greater than Giriraj? Because? That sounds like a good explanation, Mataji.
Listen, that's all, the only Ras there is Madhurya. There are no other pastimes going on there. It's just strictly
Madhurya Ras. At Radha-kund, yes, that's a very good point. Yeah, excellent point. Yes. Just like you can judge the quality of milk. Once we were giving a lecture in a high school, junior high school, in Malaysia. And the teacher was there, and we made friends with that teacher. That teacher had been to Japan just shortly before and was teaching. And this teacher told me, we were saying some things about India and how sometimes people are cheating here. And this teacher said that when he was in Japan, he was teaching mathematics. And so he was trying to teach the students, and he asked him, he said, what happens, what do you get if you take a half a liter of milk and you add a liter of water? How much do you have? And he said that the students, the Japanese students, they couldn't understand his question. Because they just couldn't understand, why would anyone mix water with milk? so he was saying that the people there are very much different from the people in India. You go to the Goshala, I'll go to the Goshala, not our Goshala, but you go to some Goshalas, and even standing in front of a Bidesha or foreigner or something, they're mixing water in the milk. They won't do it for you if you insist, but sometimes they trick to the devotees. We're getting off the subject a little bit, but this is an interesting point. In Mayapur, the devotees were having a hard time sometimes getting pure milk. And then they found one man who was very pakka, and he was giving him pure milk. He was milking the cow right in front of him. Very good. They were happy. But then they found after some time that he was also cheating them.
Inside water is there.
No, the bucket was empty, and he would turn it upside down before he would begin. But when he was milking, he had a long sleeve kurta on, and he had a bowl with some water under his arm with a straw. And he was going like this. So, why are we making this point? Because we all want, we appreciate something that's pure, that's unadulterated, even in this material world. So the same thing is also there in terms of rasa. And that's why the Rasa-lila here in Braj is known as Panchayati, as a common Rasa-lila, because there's so many different gopis with so many different moods. Giriraj is superior because the Rasa-lila that goes on there is more condensed. But also at Govardhan Hill, the cowherd boys are doing pastimes there. Sometimes Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda may be going there. There's other different rasas. But as Mataji is pointing out, Radha-kund is the topmost place because there's only Madhurya Rasa there at Radha-kund. And she's also pointing out nicely that Radha-kund is considered to be non-different from Srimati Radharani. So, I think we'll stop there and we'll take a 5-minute break and then we'll go on to text number 10. There's a lot of other things we wanted to say, but this is okay. I think it's good enough. If we can finish text 10 today, then we'll be able to give some summary tomorrow, the whole book, a little bit of time.